O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Brothers and sisters, our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of John, John 15, verses 9 through 17. It's on Pew Bible page 874. Let us listen to his word. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we have heard your word, and we ask that it would light our path and guide our hearts and minds. Open them, our hearts and minds, to your word, so that it would lead us and guide us and keep us in the days that are coming, as you have done so in the days that were. Hear our prayer, O Lord, and be with us in your word. Guide the meditations of our minds and our hearts this morning and every time we encounter your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Sometimes it's a little hard when Jesus tells a parable and then the explanation comes with the parable, and then he has to give an explanation of the explanation, right? It's like you need that extra translator to come along. For a while, we had to have that with Barbara. And thank God we had Liam, because we could look at Liam and say, what did she say? And it was really bad when Liam didn't know what Barbara had just said. But as we get going in Scripture, we have to look at all of the ways that we are called to be his people. Over the last few weeks in the post-Easter, Easter season, we've looked at how the church was the church, how it grew, how it was built, and now we turn towards how we are to mirror what God has said for us to be. Now, Anytime you encounter a conversation of love in Scripture, you kind of have to go back and figure out what kind of love you're dealing with. And you are absolutely correct if you assumed that we are talking about that all-familiar agape love of our God. And that is always that love of God towards humanity and that matching love that we are called to have towards God. That, of course, when you're talking about the love of He who made us and sent His Son, we're not going to quite hit the mark. We're going to kind of hit a ceiling because we are only human after all. But then we talk about what it means to abide in Christ. What does it mean to abide in Christ, to be with Him, to be a part of Him? And before you break out into a chorus of abide with me, if you know the words, it's one of those phrases that we don't talk about. Nobody really talks about abiding nowadays. But we can talk about enduring without yielding. We can talk about how it means to be steadfast and almost in oneness with something. That's abide with me, right? And more to our modern tongues, I guess you could say. So Jesus wants us to remain and endure with Him without giving an inch, without yielding. But how are we to do that? How are we to love and be with God as God has called us? Now, he talks about being the vine and bearing fruit before this. That's the original parable, is to be a vine. And when you think about a vine, maybe you're thinking about a particular type of vine. But remember one that bears fruit, so probably a grapevine. Now, when I was a kid, my grandparents had this grapevine that wound along their fence, and it was everywhere, and those grapes were awful. I want to tell you that the grapes tasted so good because they were grandma's garden, but no, the grapes were just never sweet, always sour, and sour in that way that makes you go, and you can't wash that sour out. But that is the vine we are to be connected with Christ. He begins by calling on us and asking us how and giving us the guidelines for how we are to be His people, how we are to abide with Him, how we are to be part of that vine, and how we are to bear fruit. If you keep my commandments, as He has kept the Father's. The first piece of that is the difference between how we treat what Christ says as opposed to what it says. It's a commandment. It's not an option. It's not something that we are told you can or you can't. We treat it like we're all lawyers. Well, God says we can do this, but we can't do that. But it's more of a guideline. But then we end up talking about the main crux of it, obedience, following where God leads, going as Christ tells. And of course, that comes with a conversation about human frailty, human failure in obedience, that we do fall short. But then he gives us a commandment we can do. Or try and do, I guess. Love one another as He has loved us. Again, it's a tall order to live into this commandment, right? To live into the commandment to love as Christ has loved us. Again, this is that love which caused God to send Christ into the world, that caused God to send His Son to the cross for us, that caused God to raise the Son from the dead for us. That is the love which we are to have
for one another and for Christ. Easy peasy, right?
But again, it's not about the success of this love. It is to love. To love. To engage in that love. To engage in the process of trying to love one another. It's hard. It is hard to love one another as Christ has loved us. But then he goes into a little bit more. He calls us friends. Friends. Philo or Philos. Friends. And then he differentiates. So we get almost a promotion in our relationship with God. Not only are we called to love one another, but we are called to be friends of Christ. Not servants, but friends. And he explains to us why that is a difference. Why it is different to be a friend rather than a servant. Because a servant doesn't know what the master is going to do. Servant doesn't get told what the master is doing. But a friend, there is reciprocity in that relationship. The actual word for friend, which he uses, carries with it a connotation of give and take. I am your friend, so I give you my love, my compassion, my friendship, and all of the other pieces of being a friend, as opposed to being a servant, where I give you my obedience, but I don't give you much beyond that. A friend is something more. A friend has expectations. And I realize this is talking about friendship in very clinical ways, you know. But you don't go up to a young person and say, well, that's your friend. And that friend, having had this conversation with Liam earlier in this week, you kind of ask the question, well, what happened?
Well, he almost got me beat up because he said I snitched. And
what do you say in that moment? Well, that doesn't sound like a very good friend to me. Okay, what makes that friend a good friend? That they care about you, that they work with you. That is a friend. The expectation of friendship has something more to it. And there is something more now in our relationship with God, with our relationship with Christ, that there is the expectation of Christ letting us in, letting us see what God is doing, what God is planning. There's a partnership that's involved in this between us and God. We aren't on the outside looking in. We are blessed to be worked with and working with God as friends. We have a partner relationship with God. Isn't that wonderful? To be partnered with God? And I realize many of you are saying, what a friend we have in Jesus would have been a great hymn to sing this week. I know. I kind of flubbed that in picking it last week. But now, the reality is this. With that reciprocity comes something. In that give and take between us and Christ, us and God, as friends that we are now, there's something more. We see what God gives us, what Christ gives us, all that Christ does for us, but that lends us to ask the question of what is our part in this? What is our part in this friendship? What are we to do as we are His friends, His people? I've always thought it's hard when you have the unspoken expectations in something. One of the conversations I have with the kids on and on again is, if you want something, I will give you the road map for how you're going to get it. If you want us to get you a bunny, I will give you the guidelines for getting that bunny. I know 100% you're not going to do the work to do it. If you want chickens in the yard, I know exactly the yard, the path that you have to do to get those chickens. And guess what? You're never going to do it. Now, part of that is me setting the path a little more difficult than it has to be with certain things. But it's being upfront and apparent and telling the exact road. And Christ does that for us. Christ isn't going to say, I got a secret and you got to figure it out. No, that's the beauty of Christ being in friendship with us, because Christ is going to spell it out. He's going to tell us exactly the expectations of how we are to be the friends of Christ. Now, first of all, there's this element to this friendship where we need to look at a key word. He has appointed us. He chose us for this friendship. It's as if Christ said, I choose you to be my friend. And with that appointing us, we are called to bear fruit, fruit that lasts, and fruit that will give and lead down a path. We are called to be participants, part of the family of Christ, part of a family. Again, expectations are involved. We are called to be ambassadors or representatives of Christ in this world. And we are, as a part of this, called on to bear fruit. Now think about this. People's main encounter with Christ often happens when they encounter Christians early on. Who is the ambassador that meets them along their road? Is it us as ambassadors of Christ? You betcha. We are the walking 5-star rating for Christ. We are the people that are encountered. If we are miserable to be around, what does that say about Christ in our lives? If we are miserable and talking about how horrible people are, left, right, and sideways, are we showing the light of Christ through us? We aren't. If all we do is judge one another and constantly harp about how horrible other people are we representing Christ to the fullness? No. No. We are very poor ambassadors. Give us 0 stars. Nobody wants to be a part of something where people are miserable. We are the ambassadors, the representatives. And part of that also involves the next step. How many of you know an ambassador, a good ambassador for our country? List them off. And that's the key. A good ambassador isn't known. They don't know who you are. You don't matter, because your whole goal as an ambassador is to point towards the representation you're making. The good ambassador to the United States in the UK is not known or shouldn't be known. Why? Because they are working towards promoting not themselves, but our country. As ambassadors of Christ, we are called on to not represent ourselves, but represent Christ in our world. It's not praise for ourselves, it's praise for God that we are representatives of. Now, as we slide into the other piece of what Christ expects of us as friends, we talk about bearing fruit. And in some churches, that means one thing: butts in the seats. And in some churches, it means one thing: a budget in the black. But is that the limit of how we are to bear fruit? It's the most tangible ways we can say and see. It's the most tangible way we can look at and say that is how we are bearing fruit. But the problem is that takes credit in that moment for the irresistible grace of God. That grace of God that constantly is on someone's shoulder saying, hey, hey, I love you and my church is here for you. You just have to remember that we are here for you. That irresistible grace that is constantly checking in on you, that eventually will take hold. The reality is that bearing fruit is not something that we can always look at and measure, like people in pews or a budget. It's often the difficult piece of living out and bearing fruit and living out a Christian life. That's really how we are to bear fruit. And that's such a wide, wide element. But what does it mean to bear fruit? Well, guess what? Apple trees bear fruit. Vines, grapevines bear fruit. All of these produce, but in different ways. So each of us can produce for Christ in a different form and format. It's however Christ is moving and active, and however we can live out a Christian life. But the key part of all of this is what Christ puts in at the end. I have told you and taught you all of this so that you might, what? Love one another. That is why we are here. That is why God has called us and placed us here. That is truly the main fruit that we can bear, is to love one another as God has loved us. As I talk to the kids, does that mean it's going to be easy? As Barbara said, no, not when Liam's that way. And I'm sure if I had Liam to answer that question, he would say, not when Barbara's being annoying. I might have asked him beforehand. The reality is how we are to bear fruit, how we are to be Christians, begins and ends with how we love God and how we love another. And so, friends of Christ, may we love one another as He has loved us. Amen. Let us